The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, what's impossible is life without Jesus.
Coming up, renowned teacher and author Dallas Willard provides a powerful, thought-provoking guide to living the life Jesus intends us to live.
Imagine, you know, if you want to keep the Ten Commandments or the teachings of Jesus, you don't try to keep them. You try to become the kind of person who will keep them, out of whom they pour naturally.
The Divine Conspiracy, next.
For joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James.
And Dallas Willard is our guest. He wrote the book, The Divine Conspiracy. He wrote what many have said is the greatest book on hearing God, and he's written one on the spirit of the disciplines, many other great, great books. He's a professor at the University of Southern California, and truly, in my opinion, when I talk to him and visit with him and his wife, Jane, it really is like visiting with Jesus. And I could only wish that when people talk to me, they might get some of that sense that, in the presence of the Lord and a lot of wisdom. Dallas wrote a book that is as important as any. I've read lots of them in the last years. I am a reader. I've been reading since I was in elementary school. And I read all the children's biographies of famous people. I don't even know if they're available now for children. They were when I was a kid. The academic communities gravitated away from God to the point that they poo-poo everybody that even refers to God or is dim-witted enough to claim they believe in God. And Dallas sits in that academic community just full of God. And I know they respect him, but he's been at Southern California University there for a long time, for many, many years. But he wrote The Divine Conspiracy. This is on the kingdom of heaven is here at hand now. It's not a place you're waiting to go. It's living in his presence. And see, listen, the thing that has happened, that Betty and I really stepped into that as teenagers, and any time there was a move on this planet within the realm of religion or anything else or the realm of our own trappings of success that moved us away from the awareness of this abiding presence and living in the presence, there was an emptiness. And if you've ever been birthed into, if you've ever experienced, as Dallas talks about grace, not just talking about, you know, we're not perfect, we're forgiven, like the little bumper stickers, but it's like we professed a faith that made no difference. We've talked about a transformation that has no effect. We're just going to wait to get out of here. And we can hardly wait for somebody to come get us out of here. An escapist mentality. It's so foreign to what the Word of God taught and what Jesus left us with when he started with a transformed life in the reality of kingdom power, and your attitudes change and everything about you changes so that the life you now live is not more rule-keeping, but it is a changed life that invites you into this new realm. And Dallas makes it so clear. Welcome, Dallas Willard, to Life Today again. Dallas, we're glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think you can tell, Betty and I are both excited about what you wrote. And everything you've written, I've just enjoyed it. The Divine Conspiracy is not something you just jump in and read through in a few days, like so much of the light reading. This is where you focus, and all of a sudden your mind is being renewed. And you're being challenged, and a lot of these old, really, idols and traditions of men, often taught as commandments of God, are suddenly ripped down and smashed. Now, if you start getting critical of everyone who is erroneously on there, then you've not moved into the righteousness that Jesus talked about and Dallas makes so clear. You've moved over into this religious self-righteousness that makes you smug and critical and unkind. We're not talking about exposing error or evil, but we're talking about becoming mean-spirited. And thinking, look how I keep the rules. This is a smugness that is a kind of righteousness that Jesus actually exposed for what it really was, death. Dallas, I want you just to kind of take off with our viewers and somehow help us as people are looking in, understand some of the important aspects of the faith and the grace that isn't just grace to get out of a pit, but it's a grace to live and a grace to be transformed by the power of God.
Well, that's what the kingdom of God basically is grace to act with us and take us out of the burden of that kind of rule-keeping, critical attitude, which was foreign to Jesus. Jesus was so often criticized because he kept company with people that you were not supposed to keep company with. But the secret was that Jesus knew that the Father was with him and he was perfectly comfortable anywhere. And therefore, he was able to bring the kingdom of the heavens in his person into the lives of others so they could experience just by his presence in their lives. And that experience is grace. Grace is God acting in our lives to enable us to do what we can't do on our own. Of course, it's unmerited favor, but what form does it take? The form it takes is presence. And the sign of that is always the outcome of his presence leads us far beyond anything we could accomplish on our own. And that isn't just in the domain of miracles, but also in the domain of character. So when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, and many people make the mistake of looking at that as a set of rules to keep, it's not. It's the expression of life in the kingdom of God. And that's beyond the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisee because it's a matter of the heart. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, out of that comes a purity of life that makes old rule-keeping look like nothing you could imagine. You know, if you want to keep the Ten Commandments or the teachings of Jesus, you don't try to keep them. You try to become the kind of person who will keep them, out of whom they pour naturally. And that's what Jesus brings into the lives of people. And he set people free by introducing them into the presence of the kingdom of God. Of course, he was the door and he's the way. But the kingdom, you don't want Jesus without the kingdom, and you certainly don't want the kingdom without Jesus. They come together, and that's what you see in the book of Acts, so that by the end time you get down to the end, you have Paul preaching Jesus and the kingdom of God in Rome.
Absolutely.
They go together. Jesus puts a face on the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God makes sure that you don't have a victim, Jesus. You have a triumphant Jesus who takes the cross in stride, moves beyond that to resurrection, and then says to the world, why don't you join me there in resurrection life?
Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have invited us into something impossible.
No. It isn't. It's the other side that's impossible. You know, what's impossible is life without Jesus. Mm-hmm. And everyone who tries it enough will find that out. So many people have this idea that the way of Jesus is difficult. It's only difficult if you are still unchanged. And then it is impossible. Mm-hmm. But when you let him come into you, change your mind and your feelings, even change the way your body is ready to act without thinking, it's easy. You know, if you think it's hard to love your enemies, just look at the lives of those who hate them. That's what's hard. Mm-hmm. And life without Jesus is actually impossible because we're made to live under the kingdom of God. From Genesis 1 to the end of the book, it's all about reigning in Christ Jesus. Once that idea of the kingdom emerges in the Bible and you move on to its development and then Jesus stands there as the fulfillment of it, then you begin to see hope. But until that, there is no hope.
And don't you think it's realizing that, I know it was for me personally, is I don't want to be out of his presence. I want to stay in
right.
his presence.
That's
so that his life overflows through
right.
mine.
And you and, know, Betty, you don't feel like you're missing anything, right?
No, I don't.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, among other things, you start, you no longer try to get away with anything.
Yeah.
And that characterizes so much of human life. It's a lovely phrase, get away with, you know. You don't do that anymore because you know God's way is best and he's with you.
That's right.
And so you don't need to hide anything because his presence is loving and restorative. It certainly is corrective also, and it has to be that. But the presence of Christ in our life is what transforms us gradually through a progression of friendship and fellowship as his disciples. And that transformation of the mind, the feelings, the body, the soul, our social relationships. See, that's what he packs into the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's Dr. Jesus talking. And he's just given you an analysis of all there is to you out of which love or the lack of it could come. And then he comes to restore that and make us to the point to where when we think about something that's wrong, we look at it and we say, who'd be interested in that? You know?
You know, you really won't love your neighbor properly as you love yourself if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
That's right.
Because if we don't get God in first place, self will tend to be there, and then you've got the inappropriate idolatry and worship. And if you inappropriately think of yourself, you'll never appropriately think of others.
That's exactly
so you
right.
really have to get first things first, and loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's not mindless following God. It's with all of your mind. He's brilliant. You know, he's brilliant, and that's one of the comments someone made, that you revealed Jesus as brilliant. He's not just nice, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's radiantly brilliant. And so when you get captivated by Jesus, and you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will properly love your neighbor, and even enables you to love your enemy. You know, Dallas, you taught me so much from the Sermon on the Mount here about, like, turning the other cheek.
Yeah.
This was, to me, see, this was a profound insight because, you know, if you're loving your enemy and you turn your cheek, here's what you got to understand. If somebody is abrasive and harsh, and by the way, the abrasiveness can be a fine honing mechanism in our own life to strengthen our own character. And especially if they come at you straight on, which normally if you come at each other like this, you dull the blade. You've got to come like this. Well, if someone comes at you and you turn the other cheek, you deflect it and it glances off. And it becomes a honing mechanism. So I have learned, even with the harshest critics, and I can't imagine anybody ever criticizing me. I'm so sweet and loving. I'm so much like Betty and like Jesus. But when they come, if I will handle it appropriately, I get stronger for it, and it really catches them totally off guard.
Yes.
And by the way, you can only help someone improve if they are convinced you have their best interest in mind.
That's right.
And somehow the people in the religious community have not communicated to a world that we really give a rip about what's good for them. We look like we're pretty self-absorbed and we don't have the love that God talks about. I mean, Dallas, you cannot believe what you've shared in this book has done for me. Has it ever done anything for you? I need to know. Has it helped you all this stuff?
Well, actually, in the process of learning this, I found a very different way of living. And one of the points that's most important here, James, is what's going to happen to me if I turn the other cheek? And the answer is, God has got my back.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's a rear guard.
So I don't have to take care of me. God takes care of me. Mm. That's the most important thing in there. And that lays the foundation for the kinds of transformations that makes it just sensible to do the things that Jesus said. And of course, that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what's very lacking in our churches, is a sincere effort to teach people how to do the things that he said.
You know, you make it real clear that it is grace and not works, but true grace works.
You're absolutely
that
right.
That grace works in us and keeps working starting now throughout all eternity.
Right.
And it is transforming grace. And I can't help but believe that's what you want. I mean, you're not just tuning in because you want to feel better, listen, preach, and go away and say, oh, well, you like a fine song and like someone who plays well on an instrument. And you go away and you talk about the speaker, but you never do what you hear. Somehow inside, I believe, I know I should do. And what has to happen is the transforming power of God, kingdom presence, giving us not only the desire, but the ability to do those things Jesus says. Can I ask you a question? When we miss the mark, when we fail, how should that make us feel?
It should make us feel like we need to understand why we failed and ask God for help in changing that instead of just trying again to do the thing that we failed at. I once had a man who worked at a jet propulsion lab in a seminar out in Southern California, And I had been teaching them, it isn't when you fail, try again. But when you fail, find out why you failed, fix it, and then try again. He said, boy, that's what we do when we blow up a rocket. We don't try again. We fix it, and then we try again. That's why training, not trying, is the key.
It's hard to get the volunteers for that try again program.
on that one, it certainly is. But, we often believe that, and we get people trying so hard.
And they're so frustrated.
Oh, they are indeed.
Frustrated in their failure and misery, but they look like all the rest of the bunch that's frustrated and miserable.
Yeah.
See, we've really made like kind. This is the thing divine conspiracy makes so clear. It's not a matter of like kind, measuring ourselves among ourselves, being totally void of the wisdom and understanding of God, but it's really becoming Christ-like. And we're not
That's
walking
right.
with a pompous step of a know-it-all or some arrogant person, look at me, I'm like Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think the more really we are yielded to God, the more aware of His presence. It's amazing how you can walk with a confidence but not a cockiness.
Right.
And there's a peace that passes understanding. And it's what the whole world's looking for. They're looking for love, joy, peace, happiness. They really don't even know what it looks like. It's not that they get drunk so they can feel like they're better and they don't know any better. It's crazy. And people get drunk on religion. They're drunk but not on wine. So they're just drunk on church and they all sit around. Hey, don't go there. God is not inviting us to live there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the good news.
Right.
Dallas, I want to thank you for writing The Divine Conspiracy. Would you say thanks to Dallas? It's in the bookstore. You can go online and get it. You'll wade through it. You'll get water not to wade in, but it'll carry you. You'll have yours all marked up like this. I mean, I go through, and you just mark everything you read. I read whole chapters of books and don't underline a word. But I'm telling you, when I see something that just resonates with life, then I'll meditate on it. I'll go back and look at it. I'll go back and look at the points that I underlined and then end up putting a star by them and go back and highlight some so I can really think about it. And I really encourage you. I wish, Dallas, if we could just get people into the renewing of their minds.
Right.
Then some of them are so frustrated, I wish I could just know the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
How about we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, separated unto God. Not being conformed by the world or by religion, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Continual process. You don't just arrive. There's a process that we may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God, I pray that for our viewers. I'm so glad you watched. I want to ask you to help Betty and me and the missionaries rescue precious little children that have been sold into the sex trafficking. And a lot of them are abandoned by parents or sent by parents because they've been told they'll have a better life. They're impoverished. The missionaries want to rescue these children, and they can. And we're asking you to help. Listen closely. Watch.
This is Pia, and she's so beautiful. I hate to see her get kidnapped and taken by human traffickers, but that's happening all around the world.
Ngalo ngado si ka lagana, ngado mo na kasi amne ngano macho yana yukai. Cete hule ngayi baka ngayi ece dole.
Many of these little girls are sold into the slave trade, sexual prostitution.
Aline gagula jenya, abebe ngena. Also sage mir ama da di mo mo ga lu ebyu ali a chom ba ebyu le tha ne ali ne lu yu ya jo li mi ne ni ma ji jo la mi sa sa ji ge la ngui ngui ko lo jo ma ayu ma
if something doesn't happen to rescue this little girl off the street, then when she gets just a little bit older, somebody will take her and exploit her.
मुझे एक होटल में लेकर गया और मुझे वो मुझे होटल में लेकर गया और मतलब मेरे साथ ऐसा गलत हुआ कि बोला देगा करके काम
You know, I'm here and I'm saying, why should this little precious innocent girl be violated? We don't know tomorrow. a week from now, a year from now? I can't even. It's unthinkable. And you know what's devastating is that it's possible. Let's get these kids off the street. They're asking me why I'm crying. It's for them, God's children. I just need a break.
You know, we've watched the missionaries and our workers that go at our request all over the world to see the things firsthand that Betty and I've seen, and that they can bring another perspective. And Betty, I wouldn't be able to watch this like Kathy couldn't. I mean, there's so many times it was just easy to go away and just weep and then say, I don't want to see it anymore. And Betty and I never were able to go away and not want to see it, because we knew we could change it. Love could change it, and it does. And Betty, the missionaries that are there in the midst of that suffering, whether it's in India, whether it's on the streets where children have been left abandoned, or whether it's in Thailand or other countries of the world, some we don't even mention because we would endanger the missionaries. But we're able to take those children who've been abandoned and give them a home and give them a future and get many of them out of the trafficking because they want out. And the missionaries are so wise in their dealings that we're able to do it. And all they need, and this is the amazing thing, in order to do it, they just need our support. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is we find somebody that's doing it in an effective way and undergird them. We don't try to go in and duplicate something. We find where God's enabling and gifting, and we call it the anointing or touch of God, the divine enabling to do something and the love to do it. And then we undergird them so they can stay at the work. And our viewers have been able to do that. Betty, I couldn't look, as Kathy was, if I didn't know we could change it. And when I say we, that would include the viewers, because that's the only way we can give those children a future hope is for somebody to help us do it.
That's right. And, you know, James, I guess the thing that really touched me as I was watching was when that little girl said, I cry myself to sleep. Why does she do that? Because there's no one there to comfort her and give her hope and help her come out of the life that she was forced into. We can be the ones that can reach out and make the difference in the lives of these precious children, James. Most of them never had a choice of their life. But we can help bring them out if we will care, if we will give them hope through our caring and sharing. I hope you will join with us, and let's be able to comfort them when they weep and let them know that they can soon have a smile because someone cares.
Well, because someone like you cared, we've been able to join together and build incredible life centers like the one in Thailand. It's one of the most beautiful facilities I've ever seen. And the most beautiful part of it is the children learning. They learn to speak English, they learn how to study, they learn how to do crafts, they learn how to make a future. Some of them have gone on, and some of them gone on into universities and have actually graduated and become teachers themselves over the last years. We've been working with these people like this for nearly 20 years. We've joined with Mark Rutland, who's now the president of Oral Roberts University, in helping him in the House of Grace. So we've been involved for a long time, but the Great Thailand Center is incredible. And we're renting facilities in all the other areas. Some, like I said, we can't name that community because we could jeopardize the safety of the mission workers. But what it takes in order to rescue a child or rescue someone out of that is an average of $128. So what we want to ask you to do is you help us rescue a life. $1,280, we can rescue 10. And I'm really asking if you can do that. I'll be honest with you. We really need people to step up and say, you know what? I've been blessed. I'm blessed to bless. We'll help you rescue 10 or more. We want to send the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze as a great art piece and collectible, great artist gifted to bless you, to say thank you for helping others. We're going to send the Butterfly Effect by Andrew Andrews. It's that incredible best-selling book. Talks about the importance of one person, even a butterfly. You're important. Would you dial that number and take your bank card? Please use it like a check. That's how you should always use it. But please, right now, make the best gift you can. Go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God puts on your heart. Would you do that? If you want to write a check, make it to Life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it. We need to hear from you this week. Real important. We need to hear from everyone, wherever you are. Would you do something to help? Would you rescue life? Thank you for sharing God's love.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out. And we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do want to remind you of the butterfly effect, Andy Andrews. It's great. It's how God can use even a butterfly, literally start waves of healing and motion. Our storm power. It's amazing, the influence. The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard. It's one of the most important books. I say it's of the two most important I've read in the last years. And I'd like to send it to you if you just simply help us rescue life. Join Betty and me again saying real sincere thanks to Dallas Willard. Dallas, thank you so much. God bless you. Jane, God bless you up here. We love you. Thank you for praying for me, for Dallas, for Betty, for all we do. Thank all of you for watching Life Today and for helping us share life every day.
The kind of life that makes such a great story you could sing about it.
A story fit for a song. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.